So the Rav Tov trying to analyze the second answer in Tosfos as to how could it be that a person is shabbing themselves, there's an enormous amount of money, if they don't own any character, we know for a fact they don't own any character, isn't that a violation of Kirin Devarim? So the first answer was given by Rabbi Eliyahu, that agree was, no, Kirin Devarim just means, like an Arasugya, when you make a kinyan to do an action, when you make a kinyan to make a shibud, even if it's only a shibud aguf without a shibud nechasim, that is considered to be a valid mechanism of kinyan. Then the Yeshva function, the second answer to Tosfos was that maybe the kinyan here really doesn't work. So how could it be? How could the person become a shibud to pay money if he doesn't have any nechasim, doesn't have a kinyan? But he told us he has nechasim. He said, this chasim, 18-year-old kid said, I got loads of, trying to impress upon her, how many is that? Loads and loads of nechasim. We know it's a joke. She knows it's a joke. Everybody knows the guy's lying. Doesn't matter. When a person expresses to us and tells us something about his financial situation, whether it's true or untrue is irrelevant. If it's going to hurt him, it's going to be binding. So if I walk at the base and I say, I broke Reuben's window, and everybody standing here knows for a fact that I'm lying, it doesn't matter. It's more than 180 speaking. I share my views that. So that idea that a person can make a statement that's going to be incriminating to him, even though we know for a fact that's not true, where does that come from exactly? What's the source in Chazal, what's the source of Chash for such a concept? And once we understand where it came from, then we begin to understand how it works, the mechanics of it's all about. So the source for it is really a Gemara in Bava Basra on the night of the Mamukamos. We just started to learn the Sukkah together on the Wednesday. Let's go back now to that Gemara in the night of the Mamukamos. The Gemara tells a story about a man named Issa Gura, Kishma Kenu, he was a ger, and he didn't have any, at least any halachic descendants. He had a biological son, Mari, but he did not have any halachic descendants. And he happened to have a lot of money, and the money wasn't sitting in his house. It was actually sitting in the safe of the yeshiva. It was sitting by Rav. Rav was holding on to this money for him. So the night of the Mamukam was Issa Gura, have a place of Zuzabet Rav. Rav Mori Bereh, Rav Mori, although he was his biological son, was for technical reasons not his halachic son. Ubei Rav Abba. And Rav Mori was a Talmud of Yeshiva. So Rav knew Rav Mori very well. So Amar Rav, Heichin Ekninu Rav Mori Lahani Susan. How is it going to be? We'll see in a moment. How is it not going to be? We're going to try to avoid what Rav did not want to happen was for Rav Mori to fall into all this money. That was Rava's goal. Now again, here, where the Gemara is not giving us the sociological background, we're not hearing about what the issues were exactly, why Rava felt that way. We could surmise, we could guess that Rava was a young boy, he was learning maybe Shiva, it's a little bit strange setup. His father wasn't really Jewish, was Jewish. Again, you know, we don't know exactly the family history. We're not privy to the records of the yeshiva as to what Ravmari's status was. But we can just guess that Rava didn't think, and I can imagine this would probably be a pretty good assessment for a yeshiva today. It's probably not the best idea for a 10-year-old kid to fall into 12,000 alpha zuze, you know, at that stage of life. It would probably be a lot better for Rava to hold on to this money. Maybe the yeshiva should hold on to the money. Maybe this money should be put forward. We'll put like a 2021 spin on it. Maybe this should go towards Ramari's tuition for the next 10 years. We'll put it in the trust fund. Again, so it doesn't really matter what the background of the story is. The goal clearly was Rava did not want Ramari to become the rightful owner of this money at this point. Now, the question is, how are you going to avoid that? Well, the chor is very simple. When Issa Gura dies, that money is going to become Hefker, because Issa Gura is what we call a ger shemes ve'emo yoshe. Any regular person that dies, the money goes berusha. If he has a child, it goes to the child. If the child goes to the father, it goes to the brother, it goes to the cousin. Yeah, it goes to somebody. Eventually, you find some relative, unless you're a ger. Person is a ger, so then any biological relatives he has from the past, his non-Jewish father is not going to be Yoshim. His non-Jewish third cousin is not going to be Yoshim. The only possible person to be Yoshim would be a child. But Ramari wasn't his child, because Ramari was conceived before he was even, before he was converted, whatever the case may be. So basically, the minute that Issa Gura dies, this money is going to become Hefker. As Hefker, so whoever, first come, first serve, whoever's going to be Zohar on it, and happens to be sitting in the yeshiva's safe, obviously Rava's going to be Zohar on this money. Unless Issa Gura pulled off a stunt, unless Issa Gura transfers ownership of this money, signs off of this money to Rav Mari before Issa Gura dies. So again, we're not going back to the reason why Rava did not want that to happen. So Rava's trying to prevent that from happening. So Amrav Hechirik didn't have a Marla Hadizazu. How's he going to do it? How technically, halakhically, is that money going to make it from Isigura's possession to Rav Mori's possession? Ibi Yerusha, Lava Yerusha. The easiest way for it to go is Derech Yerusha, says Rav. That's not happening because Rav Mori is not a Yerush. Rav Mori is not the halachic son of Isigura. Ibi Matana, if it's going to go Derech Matana. Now, what does it mean, Derech Matana? Maybe Isigura is simply going to say, I'm hereby giving a gift to my quote-unquote, my biological, non-halachic son, Rav Mori. Now, that's something that you have to reckon with. Why is that? So normally, in order to give a matana, you have to pick it up and hand it to you. I'd say, I want to give this water bottle to you to a matana. I can't just say, okay, it's hereby yours. Can none require a ma'aseh kinyan. But there's one exception to that rule, and that's what's called the matna shchibira. It's a mishnah. The end of Maseches Bava Basra. When you have a person who's sick, and he wants to start dividing a property before he dies. He doesn't want all his property to go to his yorkshire. He wants to give money to this friend, he wants to give money to that, that. So he wants to start dividing up his assets. So Min HaTorah, how's he going to do that? Min HaTorah, the only way for him to do that is either literally to make a nice kinyan with a chalipin, with a mashicha, with a agma, is that literally going? So the Gemara says the Chazal were very nervous about that because they were afraid, here the person's dying. And his last wish is to start to divide up his property, and the Rabbanim come and say, no, you can't do that. We need to keep the chalipin. We got to find the Sudra, we got to find the Matana, we got to. Guys, they're all agitated, they're all upset. Shevet Yitarv Daita Shechol, he may Chalil die earlier. He gets so agitated of what's going on that may interfere with his own health prognosis. So therefore, Chazal changed the rules. They made a Hefkemez, special Tatana called Matna Shchiv Meira. He's laying in bed, he's with illness, he's sick. They made a special takana called Matna Shchibra, Divrei Shchibra, Kiksuvin, V'chimesurin Damo. That whatever the Shchibra says is considered to be binding, it's considered to be valid, even without a Maisa Kinyan. So comes the Gemara and says, maybe Isigura is going to take advantage of that aloha. So here, Isigura is sitting 10 miles away from the yeshiva. He's not going to go knock on the door and pick up the money for the yeshiva. That's not, and give it to Rav Mori. He's not going to do that. What he's going to do is simply just say, I hereby give all my money as a gift to my biological, not halachic son, Rav Mori. And then the game's over. And that will accomplish exactly what Rav didn't want to happen. So Rav said, no, I'm not worried about that. Why? Even Matada Matna Shchibra Ki Yerusha Shavir Rav Mori. The reason why the story is here, that's exactly what the Gemara is talking about, the details about the Shchibra and Kutbam Tess. The Gemara says that when Chazal made the takona called Matna Shchibira, so we know the reason for the takona. The reason was Shevet Nav Daita Shechol. You don't want the Chol to get too agitated. But whenever you have a din de Rabbanon, it's not enough just to mention what the reason was. You have to understand the mechanics as well. That's to be some kind of a formulation. Chazal didn't just make hocus pocus and said, okay, the money now goes to play. You have to make some kind of a mechanism. And again, Min HaTorah, this mechanism is not really working, but Min the Rabbanan, called the Tikkun Rabbanan, came to raise it. So that's what the Gemara raises the question at the end of the Basra. When Chazal made this takona of Matna Shchibra, forgive me, this is a regular, normal case, a regular sick person wants to give $100,000 to his best friend. So how does that work exactly on the level of the Rabbanan? So we know why Chazal did it. What's the formulation? So the formulation is they basically created this model of transferring of money without a Maisa Kinyan. Where do we find Min HaTorah? Kol Tikkun Rabbanan came to raise it. Where do we find this model Min HaTorah of money changing hands without kinyanim? The answer is only one place, called Yerusha. That's exactly what Yerusha is. Reuven dies, his money goes to Yerusha, to his son, to Shimon, the master kinyan. Reuven doesn't make a kinyan, he doesn't make a kinyan chalipin as he's dying. It happens in the Mela. So Chazal, when they instituted Divrei Shchibra, Kesuvichim, Mezuvin Damim, for whatever technical, medical, emotional, psychological reason they had to institute it for, they patterned it after Yerusha. And therefore, they made a little bit of a limitation to it. They said, when do we find this is sugya of Matna Shchibra with the Rabbanan? That's for people who could basically be Yerush, people who are in the parish of Yerusha, so we can discuss the possibility of Matna Shchibra. But Isigura doesn't have any Yerush. There's no Yerush of him. There's no Gersh and Mesh, no Yerush. So the whole sugya of Yerusha doesn't make any sense here. So comes in and says that not so simple, not so posh. So we're having problems. We're ultra tuned. Regularly, Yerusha is not going to work because he's not a Yerush. Even this, the Rabbanan Dika quasi make believe Yerusha is not going to work either. So what is going to work? Even Mashiach, what are you afraid that Issy Gira is going to hand the water bills, he's going to hand the cash over to Rav Mori? Said, well, he's still going to be. It's in the safe. It's in the yeshiva's office. He's not coming. Iba Chalipin, Kira Chalipin. Rav Mori will take off his yarmulke, hand it to his quote unquote father, to Issy Gira, and be kind of all the money. Rav says, that's not going to work either. It happens to be a din tucked away in the fourth parak of Bamatsia that a madea coins are not nikne bechalipin. Why is that? That's maybe a loaded question in Bamatsia. Why that's true? But you can't make kiri chalipin on coins. So ofa, I lost count what he's owed for, but he's owed for a few. I agav karka. Listen to this one. Maybe Isigur is going to be smart. Isigur is going to be mocked at the coin which you're metalchalin. Agav karka. Now, karka is very, very easy. I can be cutting your karka in 1 second. I'll give you a nickel, you have pruta, and I'll be cutting a very, very small, a half an inch of your karka. And agav, that karka, I'm going to be cutting your car, your animals, your thousands of dollars of golden coins. So you can be cutting any metal with agav karka, and the metal doesn't even have to be on the karka. That's the sugi in the first part of the Kiddushin. So that's a whole shiloh that comes from there, ice and rabbanim, sukkim, whatever it is. There's a mishnah that says that you can be koinet with a kid in agav. So now the rabbi is nervous that Isigur is getting wind of this idea. He's going to rebel. Oh, yeah. When I was a younger man, I was probably talking to the rabbi's yeshiva back if there was Megaya. Oh, I remember the sukkim, the mishnah in Kiddushin about kid in agav. Gaval, he's going to make a kid in agav, and he's going to end up transferring all that money to the little 5-year-old Rav Mori, which we don't want that to happen. So comes the Gemara and says, nah, Rabbi said, Lay Seyara. He knows Issigur doesn't have any money, doesn't have any land. He's got a lot of coins, but doesn't have any real estate. So now Rabbi started waiting, said, there's still a stun, there's still a way to do this. Even Mamet Shloshtan, there's a kid called Mamet Shloshtan. Mamet Shloshtan is one of the strangest dinim there are born out there. We'll see in a moment why it's so strange. It doesn't seem to be so strange, but the Gemara calls it strange. You owe me $1,000. It happens to be a milva al peh. I lent you $1,000 in front of witnesses last month, and you owe me $1,000. And you agreed to owe me $1,000. So I'm going to come collect $1,000 from you. But you know what? I have a change of heart. I don't want to collect $1,000 from you. I want to transfer that loan that you owe me. I want to give it as a gift to Reuben. I want to be makne a milva al peh. The Gemara says there's no way to do that. There is no mechanism in halacha to be makne a milva al peh. The Gemara says that before. It just doesn't exist. There's no way to do it. Why doesn't it exist? What's the chisara? That's a little bit less clear in the Gemara. So there seem to be two opinions in Tosfos as to why that's true. One reason is because one possibility is that a kinyan can't be chal on a davar she'ein bo mamashos. That it's just not nitan to kinyanim. It's just this is a kind of an item. The Torah doesn't recognize this as an item. So there's it's not shayach to be in kinyanim in the Torah. The other possibility is it is shayach to be kinyanim, it's just there's no kinyan that can relate to it. Name a kinyan. What kind of a kinyan can possibly speak to this milva b'al peh? So how are you going to do it? Well, what mechanism are you going to do? So it sounds like almost the same thing. It's a big enough community there. That's when is the dina. So Tosfos is one place seems to present one way, Tosfos another place seems to present a slightly different way. Whenever I mention the sugya, I always remind myself of a very, very strange occurrence that happened. It happened in the first tall base medrash, I remember back, and there used to be a base medrash back on the third floor. I remember back on the third floor of the first hall. So this goes back, trying to tell me years ago, it goes back about 30 years, probably about a little bit more than that, before his marriage, about 30, give or take 30 years or so. I was learning Baba Basra at the time with Rabbi Yochum Konigsberg, one of their baby yeshiva, which was for many, many years. We're sitting in the back of the kol, back of the Shechtis kol, this medrash. We're sitting in the Baba Basra, and we were learning this sugya about why is it that you can't sell a book about paths, the chesed, the ma'asekin, the chesed, the chefetz, the kiddel. So, sitting there learning, and these two fellows walked into the base medrash, two really, really heavy duty yeshivish looking, like older, significantly older people, almost look like two Rosh Hashivas. And they sit down right next to us in the Beis Medrash. And in Hebrew, they start to talk to us about learning. They want to know what we're learning. So I start telling them, this Tosfos, that Tosfos, this Tosfos, that Tosfos. People, mamish, from back and forth, back and forth. Back and forth, for 10 minutes, talking to them, telling them everything. Stay there. And then I know one said to the other, So the only, we had two sets of Sfarim on the table. We had a Gemara and a Rambam. That's all we had on the table. So one set to the other. You know, oh, is it Tov? Yishim Gemara and Rambam. Is it B'Seg? Is it B'Seg? And then they walked out. Never to remember. I don't know what they want. Maybe the Mishloach. I don't know what they want. Mamash had a clue what they wanted. And me and my cousins, but we always joke about it. Yeah, 30 years later, we still joke about it. There's two phantoms in the night. Two guys that just came. They fell out of Eish Arum and they decided to have to talk to us about these two types of about the city. At the time, we thought maybe they're like, you know, maybe the Shachanim, they're looking around, you know. We never heard from them again. So I don't know, either they like what we said, they like what we said, but I never saw them again. Anyway, so back to the story. So Rava is pretty confident that there's no way in the world for Ramari to get this money. The Rusha is not happening, and Matnash Chimera is not happening, and Chalit is not happening, and Mashiach is not. It's relevant. But wait a second, my Mashlosh, what's my Mashlosh? You owe me $1,000. I want to give that. Somebody else, I want to transfer it over. I want to sell. I want to give as a gift that chov, that milvah about that to Yadam, to Pliny. The Gemara says, you can't do it. Minatori, you can't do it. But with the Rabbanon, we really want you to be able to do it. Why? It's good for business. Because sometimes, you know, sometimes I'm in the middle of a business deal. I'm coordinating. I got to give you some money. I don't have the money, but I have a loan against somebody else. So, you know, it's very, very good to get the flow of business easier, to be able to have this idea of transferring milvah be'al-peh from one person to another. So Chazam made the following takkanah. Let's get all three parties together. You owe me the money. Pliny, the third guy who I want to give the money to as a gift, as a machir, whatever it is. The three of us will stand together. We'll all stand and say, tell them together. All I have to say is I'm hereby transferring the money. It's done. It happens. That's what's called the Kenyan. They stand, three stand together. How does that work? It doesn't make any sense. You know what the Gemara says in Gittin? It's a hilchasa below timer. Chazal made it. They had no choice. They had to institute it because otherwise this is the work. Don't try to analyze it. Don't try to philosophize it. How it works, hilchasa below timer. So it's a machlokes and Yisharim what that means. Some Yisharim say, no, it really makes a lot of sense. It's a mechilas hashibah to one. It's a kabbalah hashibah to one. I'm thinking a whole razzle dazzle. So what does the Gemara mean, hilchasa below timer? So the Divah claims that hilchasa below timer just means nobody knows what they're doing. Nobody chaps all the lumdus, but there's a lot of lumdus going on. It really does make sense. Another Rishonim say, no, if the Gemara finally tells us something doesn't make sense, so trust the Gemara, it doesn't make sense. The time it doesn't make any sense. There is no reason why. We know why Chazal did it, but in terms of formulation, there is no really mechanics that works. Not one as it works. So now Rava starts to get very, very nervous. He said, all Issachar has to do is, with words alone, he could transfer all this money. The money that's sitting as a pikadon, not just for a loan, for a pikadon as well. The cash, the golden coins that's sitting in the yeshiva in the office, all the sugya has to do is, with words alone, invoking the parasha, the sugya with the rabbanon of Maimon Shloshan, he can do the worst thing possible. He'll transfer ownership in these coins to Rav Mari. The rabbi says, it ain't going to happen. You know why? Yisharach li lo azilna. I'm not coming. Maimon Shloshan means all three have to be here. I'm the third person. The money's sitting by me. So until I show up, I'm telling you, sugya, I have a meeting for the yeshiva. I can't make it. I don't believe it's a bit. Bro was waiting for the Issachar to die. Eventually, the Issachar is going to die, and the money will not be transferred. So far, it sounds like Rava accomplished what he wanted. And Rava is trying to save the day, but not letting this money end up in the jurisdiction of this young child, Rav Mari. Maskir Rav Ika Braid Rav Ami. Ika Braid Rav Ami said, no, I got a great idea. Rava is saying himself a Shikul Torah and Shir. So he had the learning by the Maskir. He's saying a Shikul Torah and Shir. But it's happening a lot in real time. So Rav Ika Braid Rav Ami raised the question, am I the lady Isser the Halin Zuze the Rav Mari Ninu? Let Isser Giura just make the following statement on his deathbed. Not Derech Yerusha, not Derech Matnash Chemira, no Chalipin, no Agav, no Beshicha, no Maimon Shloshan, none. Let him just make the following statement. The $10,000 that are sitting in Rav's safe belong to my son. They've been my son's all along. They're Rav Mari's birthday gift that I gave him last month. That's his money. Now we know that's a joke. We know that's a farce. We know that money is really Issachar's money. Let Issachar just make a hodas baldin that he is not the owner of that money. And he will thereby acquire the money through that magic statement called a Kenyan Odisa. Which is exactly what Tosfos and Esav said. We know it's a farce. We know it's a joke. We know it's not true. But it's still binding in halacha. because that's the parish, that's the sugi of Hodas Baldin. And guess what? That Eitzah will work. Not only did that Eitzah work, but somebody in yeshiva, because today it wouldn't be such a chiddush, just texted, you went with the Rashima, Rav Eker just asked a great question. Did you hear that? All of a sudden it goes viral. And this Segura is checking his messages as he's dying, trying to figure out how to stand to his money. Gavaldi, what a great idea. And he gets up and makes this Hodas Baldin. So it didn't happen with such drama. Someone had actually walk over from the yeshiva and knock on Issa's door and say, guess what? You won't believe it. Rav Eker Bredavami came up. He trumped Rav. He came up with a great idea. So you know what happened? When Issa Gura got wind of that idea, Adahachi nafiko disa bebeyesur. So word got out that Issa Gura actually did that. And believe it or not, Issa Gura outsmarted Rav. And Issa Gura was able to actually transfer the money to his son, to Rav Mari. And the Gemara said that Rav was upset. Rav said that wasn't supposed to happen again. The Gemara never tells us the end of the story. What did Rav Mari do with the money? We're not sure. Did he take his friends out for ice? I don't know what happened with the money. I can't tell you. But Rav Mari, and eventually, Rav Mari became a great Amari. So we don't want to be Mitzi Laz on the hailing of Rav Mari. But that, what happened was not supposed to happen. But it did happen through the mechanism, through the vehicle of a Kinyan of Isa. So you see that there is such a concept. I can make a statement. I'm hereby making a statement that this hat belongs to Reuben. I'm not giving it to him as a gift. He's not here. There's no matana. There's no machir. There's no chalibin. I'm making a dos, but it was his all along.
Why don't you give him the shvider of you if you have this?
This would be, an odisa would be even simpler. It would be easier than a mashchimira. So a mashchimira has other advantage to it as well, that you can back out from mashchimira. The Gemara says that, yes, they made it takana for the shchimira, but they also built in a safety clause. Whereas if you're going to go down the route of those about this, the game's over.
What's
the opinion? So Dr. Fisher's asking me, so how does this work? Well, what exactly, what is the mechanism of this? So that's going to lead us into the next part of this again. How does it work? All we did, it took us 20 minutes to identify that it works. We saw this Tyson Subas that's invoking this sugya of that you're lying, everybody knows you're lying, it's one big shaker, and it's still blinding. And we said, huh, how does that work? So we said, I didn't tell you how it works yet. I just showed you that it works. It works based on this Gemara. How did Chazal figure it out? And what are the mechanisms? Where's the Kinyan? So that's the next part. So come to
me. Couldn't you have done the same thing that the Kinyan had? The father could have said that he owned property.
Oh, right. Well, this is easier. Right, the easier step. You cut out other than you'd have to go make a Kinyan aga. Right. So this cuts out one step. Very good. You're right. So comes the Gemara in the 10th of the Mamakamos, in Masechus Babitsiya, from Hamid Beis, and it's actually quoting a Mishnah in Masechus Maisa Shein. It's a little bit of a background to this Mishnah. The halacha is that if I have a lot of produce, I'm supposed to bring it to the Yishalayim and eat the Kedush B'Tarash Maisa Shein, but the Torah says it's a hassle to do that. I live in Kiryat Shmona, and I'm stopping on my fruit to Yishalayim today. No problem. I could be poda the fruit. I take money and I transfer the kedusha with the fruit under the coins, put the coins away, and when I make Yerushalayim a few months from now, I take the fruit with me, I take that fruit, I buy food in Yerushalayim, I eat it with the kedusha. That's the Pasha Pitch by Shady Psukim, explicit Psukim in the end of the Kosa and in the Pasha for A as well. There's a Pasha, there's a Sugya of Pidyon by Shady. However, the Torah tells us in the end of Pasha of Kosa that when you poda by Shady, you have to add on a fifth. So it's not enough just to be able to have $100 worth of apples. I got $100+. How much is a fifth? So usually math will tell us a fifth is $20. I don't know. A fifth is $25. I forgot how to do my math. I don't know. A fifth means when you add on the fourth that you're adding on, and that becomes a fifth. So 25 becomes a fifth of 125. That's how you make chishbon. That's what the Gemara says before the fourth time. So it is you have to be told by sharing with a fifth. That's going to be a lot of money. I got $100,000 worth of grain. That's going to cost me a pretty penny. So I'm going to try kind of hard to get out of that if I can. How do we get out of it? Torah says you have to do it. So there's a little bit of an exception to the rule. Torah says, "Chiyal ish b'ma'asro." The only time the Torah commands us to add on a fifth is if you poda your own mice. But if you poda somebody else's mice, then you just give the value of the mice. There's no need to add on a fifth. Especially when according from something. It's not playing games now. Make a catch. I'll poda your mice. You put in my mind, we'll come to the game, and we'll get out of the bid. We'll beat the system of a chesh. So our initial reaction to that is cheating. You're not supposed to do that. It'll work, but you're not supposed to do that. So the Mishnah says, Ketzim Ariven al Maisa. The Mishnah says, you're allowed to do that. The Mishnah says, it's okay. You're allowed it when it comes to Maisa. You're allowed to play games. This is an exception. Normally, haramas are things we don't like. Maisa, you're allowed to. The Pesuk says, Aser ta Aser. So the Gemara has a drasha. Aser b'shvil shetis asher. The Torah wants you to give Maisa and to make money off it. The Torah builds into the system that it's okay. We don't want you to lose too much money with Maisa. And if you can figure out a kunst to beat the system of getting out of Chumash, that's okay. This is the one case that I know of in Halacha. It's haram, it's permissible. It's hetter garment. You're allowed to be ma'arim ala ma'isus. The Mishnah says, ketzim ala ma'isus. But sometimes it's easy. Means let's say, for example, I know you have ma'isus to be, so I'll take my money and be part of your ma'isus. Wink, wink, you'll take your money and be part of my ma'isus. And that's okay. You can do those kinds of stunts. So here, what if I have a lot of stuff? You don't have anything. So I ask you a toiva. I say to you, listen, if I'll take my coins and be part of my ma'isus, it's going to cost me an extra fifth of money. I'll give you the coins as a gift. And you do it on my behalf. I'll give you the fruit, and you do it. So, or I'll do it for your fruit. So we'll play some kind of principle, kind of games. We'll use Didi Bamu. We'll do it quickly, Bechiris Chometzis, and we'll Bechiris Bechor, Bechiris Tfilas Kalima. We'll start to transfer ownership on coins and on fruit to make it in such a way that the poder is not the owner of the coins and the fruit. So the Mishnah says you can do that. You just have to figure out a way to do that. It's not always so simple. So that's what the Mishnah begins in the 10th of the Mamukum. It's like, Omer Begurim, Be'en B'yad Amos. The Gemara says, I'm standing in the threshing floor. I want to start to be pulled to all my grain. I don't have any cash on me. So how am I going to do that? So I can be pulled up on coins that are sitting in my house. That's, I don't want to do that. I want to transfer ownership on those coins to you. So how exactly am I going to do that? So the Gemara gives a whole cheshbon. How am I going to get coins to belong to you without you actually picking up the... Sounds familiar? It sounds very, very familiar to the Segura story. How are we going to pull off a kunst to transfer ownership on coins? So the Gemara gives this, the Gemara gives that, the Gemara gives this, the Gemara gives that. But there's one thing the Gemara doesn't recommend. Odisa, why don't I just get up and say, these coins, they're not my coins. These were Shimon's coins from 20 years ago. They've been sitting in my house. It's become, they really belong to Shimon. Actually, make it Odisa. That is eerily silent, missing from the Gemara, missing in action. Why didn't the Gemara give that answer? So the answer to that question is critical for our sugya. Because why Chazal didn't do it when they seemingly could have done it may indicate to us something about some of the limitations of this halacha. And if we understand the limitations, maybe we'll understand how this halacha works in the first place. So we still have a work cut out for us. So we're still going back to Kinyan Devarim. We're trying to learn about Mabastav Yom Manal. We bumped into Kinyan Devarim. We saw Tosin Ksubas got also hits to that Kinyan Devarim. They came up with two eitzes how to solve the problem. The second eitzah was the taka is a Kinyan Devarim when you mishabit yourself something you don't own. But. You can make some kind of a hodos about din that you won't conquer. Really, hodos about din that you won't conquer. How did that happen? It's a gura. Well, how does that happen? How does that work? So we're not really sure, but we do know that it doesn't work all the time because the Gemara here ignores it. Hopefully, it's a Shema on Tuesday. We'll try to pick up from this point. Why did the Gemara ignore it here? And then once we understand why it doesn't appear here, we'll understand why it does appear there and get a little bit of a better understanding as to what this is all about. Hopefully, it's a Tuesday. We'll try to pick up.
No, it's a make believe Yerusha.
Anytime you've been to Parish Yerusha, as long as the people are involved, could potentially be Yerusha.